Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues, concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us on the phone is Rebecca Riley. She's an attorney and legal director of Nature Programs with the Natural Resources Defense Council. And she's here to talk about some proposed legislation in Congress and the policy shifts coming from the White House with respect to the Endangered Species Act. And first, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I thought we would just start here. Let's get a little background on the Endangered Species Act, a little bit of history or so. When was this act founded or incorporated?
Sure. So the Endangered Species Act is one of our most successful environmental statutes. It has saved 99% of the species it protects. It was passed by overwhelming majorities of Congress back in 1973 and signed into law by Richard Nixon. Mm-hmm. So this was a popular bipartisan law that has been successful for the 40-some years it's been in place.
Right. And why then? What was going on back in the 70s that Congress and the president thought that this was a good idea?
Well, we actually passed most of our major environmental laws back in the 70s because there was this joint recognition across political parties, across the country, that the environment was important to protect and that letting species go extinct wasn't consistent with our values. Now, remarkably, even though the Endangered Species Act is currently being targeted, it is still a very popular law among the American people. Hmm. 80 to 90% of Americans say that they support the Endangered Species Act. And that's because we all have a general sense that letting species go extinct isn't the right thing to do.
Right. So let's talk about some of these successes. You say that 99% of the species that I guess are considered for the endangered species listing find success. Let's talk about some of the larger successes that everyone is may be familiar with.
Sure. So one of the classic success stories is the bald eagle. Hmm. And it's really remarkable because the bald eagle is the symbol of America, yet we almost let it go extinct. Back in the 70s, it was really, truly on the brink of extinction. And that's because of a pesticide called DDT that we were using that made its eggs very, very fragile. So what we did was we protected the bald eagle under the Endangered Species Act. We banned DDT. And ultimately, we were able to recover bald eagles to healthy population levels, and they no longer need the protections of the Endangered Species Act. And that's exactly how it's supposed to work. We're supposed to put species on the list, do what it takes to recover them, and then we can take them off the list because they no longer need those protections.
So what percentage of species have actually been able to come off of the list? That seems like a difficult goal to achieve.
It is a difficult goal, and it actually takes decades of intervention to recover a species from the brink of extinction, and it takes resources. And the problem that we've seen is Congress is not allocating the resources we need to actually recover species. So while we're preventing their extinction, we're not taking the steps we need to do to recover them so that we can take them off of the list.
So going back to the bald eagle then, is the bald eagle off the endangered list?
Yes, it is.
So
it's off of the endangered species list, and it's a great success.
Right. And was that based on, as Nell suggested, like some numbers or some percentage recovery? How does one define? It can be very subjective, I guess, as to say, today the bald eagle has reached a sustainable population, et cetera.
Right. So the biologists at the Fish and Wildlife Service are responsible for doing that analysis, and they look at a whole range of things. They look at the population, how stable it is. Mm-hmm. They look at threats to the species. Are there threats coming up that we know are going to be a big problem? They look at other laws that might protect the species. In this case, there's a law called the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act that helps us protect bald eagles. They look at all of these factors that are in the Endangered Species Act and make a scientific judgment that the species no longer needs the protections of the law.
Okay, so let's talk about some others, perhaps. Say the American alligator also was threatened with extinction back in the 70s and 80s. They've recovered. Manatees, Florida manatees. I'm from Florida. So the Florida panther, I don't know if that ever made the endangered species, but that their populations had been threatened severely. So all of those have recovered. Can you suggest, think of some others?
The gray wolf is actually a really interesting success story because we had hunted them out of the Western United States. So they were completely gone from the Western United States. And what the Fish and Wildlife Service did was they reintroduced two gray wolves. And from those two gray wolves, we have this now healthy population of 1,500 to 2,000 wolves that live in the Northern Rockies. And the really incredible thing about it is that when they reintroduced the wolves, it brought balance back to the ecosystem because, as we all know, each species plays a really important role in ecosystems, and carnivores in particular. And so when they brought gray wolves back, that helped balance elk populations, which helped us bring back vegetation. It had ripple effects throughout the ecosystem.
Right. We've talked about that on the show, too, about not only does it address elk populations, but that elk populations address aspen or so willow health, which and then it affected trout populations within local streams. So there's that trickle down effect.
Absolutely.
Those linkages. Okay, so let's turn to these. Some of the controversy associated with the Endangered Species Act. I know sometimes these species aren't on our aren't very well noticed or have a lot of value or benefit, most people think, and so almost to the detriment of our economy or jobs or progress, and there's a lot of pushback. Can you talk about some examples there?
So endangered species actually do provide value to the economy, but at the same time, protecting nature, protecting wildlife, preventing extinction is something that's essentially priceless. And when Congress passed the Endangered Species Act, what they said is, this is a value that we believe in. We believe protecting endangered species is the right thing to do without regard to cost. We should be doing this based on the science. We shouldn't be weighing economic costs. And so that is how the Endangered Species Act works. It is a science-driven law that bases its decision-making on science. At the same time, it is balanced. It is not designed to stop progress. It's not designed to stop development. It's designed to make sure that when we do develop, that we don't do it in really sensitive habitat areas. And that just makes good sense. You know, if we're not looking at where species live and where most important habitat areas are, we'll just develop anywhere. Whereas with the Endangered Species Act, we can do it in the right places. We can do it in the places least likely to impact these species that are on the brink of extinction.
So looking forward, over the past couple of weeks here, there have been, I guess, more than two dozen pieces of legislation that have come up that impact and potentially weaken the Endangered Species Act. So walk us through these proposals and how they would impact the act.
Sure. So over the past few weeks, we've seen a really coordinated attack, both from Congress and from the Trump administration. So from Congress, we saw 9 bills introduced in the House. We saw a hearing on draft legislation in the Senate. And all of those bills are designed to weaken the protections of the Endangered Species Act. From the administration, we saw an even more troubling proposal, a series of 3 rules designed to roll back species protections. And those rules are out there right now. They have been proposed. They are open for public comment. And the Trump administration is pushing to finalize them. So there are threats coming to the law from multiple angles right now.
I read one here from Senator Barrasso of Wyoming. He's introduced legislation that would hand over responsibility for endangered species protection to the states, among other things. What might be wrong with that?
Well, you know, by the time a species gets listed, it's because the state hasn't had the resources or the political will to do what's necessary to save it. We don't list species before they are at risk of extinction. And states have responsibility before we get to that point. So Senator Barrasso's bill is kind of upending that whole system. And it doesn't make a lot of sense because states don't have the resources that it takes to recover species. We have a law, the Endangered Species Act, that is very effective. What we need to do is fund it and allow the federal government to do what it needs to do to recover these species so they no longer need protections. We shouldn't be putting the burden on the states, particularly when they just don't, when they've already shown that they don't have the resources to do what it takes.
I imagine that also gets complicated as many of these species will cross state lines. So how, you know, how is that coordinated, right?
Absolutely. So it's rare that you have a species that lives in just one state. Most of these species do live in multiple states, and different states have different approaches and different beliefs about populations. When the gray wolf was on the Endangered Species Act, Endangered Species List, Wyoming had a very aggressive approach towards them and wanted to allow a lot of hunting, whereas Montana had a more balanced approach. Mm. So, you know, state by state, you're going to get really different plans based sometimes on politics, also based on funding.
Right. It's not the Louisiana whooping crane. You know, it's the whooping crane writ large that populates a large part of the U.S. and North America. But so that's one of the proposed changes. Which one do you think has the most traction, let's say?
I think the idea of giving states greater responsibility for species protections is the idea that has perhaps the most traction.
Hmm.
Because what the states who are fighting for this actually want is the ability to roll back protections, the ability to say a species has been recovered, we don't need to protect it anymore. They are trying to take species off of the endangered species list and decrease their protections, the states that are advocating for this. They're not advocating so that they actually can protect species, because that wouldn't make sense, you know, to burden their own budgets with that when we have a federal law that does the job so well.
Last minute or two, could the president say an executive order? He's been known to do these for a number of things. Can he just bypass Congress too and sign an executive order that the Environmental Protection Agency might just take hold of and run with?
Well, you know, that's essentially what's happening with these proposed regulations. So regulations are put out under the authority of the president. You know, Secretary Zinke, they are who is in control of proposed and finalized regulations. Mm. So that's why the regulations actually pose a really big threat here, because the president and Secretary Zinke could finalize these rules, and they are all designed to roll back species protections.
So I'm sorry. So it's fall under the Department of Interior to rather than the Environmental Protection Agency.
For Correct. It's actually a joint proposal from Interior and Commerce, because species in the ocean are actually managed by the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is part of the Department of Commerce. So this is a joint proposal from those two agencies. But agencies are, you know, President Trump is responsible for these agencies. He can tell them what to do. And they are carrying out his wishes, which is he would like to roll back protections for species, because that should benefit the oil and gas industry, developers, mining companies, and the other kinds of industry interests that we've seen him, you know, give things to over and over again.
Right.
So if listeners are interested in getting involved, how can they learn more about this and let their voice be heard?
Sure. So actually, the great thing about proposed regulations is there is a public comment period, and any member of the public is allowed to comment on these regulations and tell the administration what you think. And then the administration is required to review all of those comments and respond to them formally. That is the upside of this administrative process. So anyone who wants to get involved can participate in that. You know, we will also probably see a lot of public outcry just in general. So call your congressman, call your legislator, tell people that you support the Endangered Species Act, and make sure that that message continues to get through, because this is a very popular law, and it's very hard for politicians to roll back popular laws. So we need to make sure they know how many Americans continue to support protecting species.
Rebecca Riley, she's a staff attorney and legal director for nature programs with the Natural Resources Defense Council. Of course, that's nrdc.org to learn more about what they do. And I'm sure that you have some information or blog about this issue. And we want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this important act on This Green Earth.
Thank you for having me.